Pain is on everywhere we look, we see pain. Every place we look, somebody's hurting. If it's not our friends, it's us.
Yes.
Just today, a young person this afternoon came to talk to me for about 15 minutes. And she was so broken because about three friends of hers in her realm had turned back on God because it was a real drastic thing. And she said, "But I don't understand. They are saved. They have the Holy Ghost. They even teach Bible. They're even teachers, ministers." And she said, "Why, Donna? Why? Somebody that you look up to." And I looked at her and I said, "They hurt too. They hurt too. They hurt just like the people in the pew or those people outside that maybe never come to church. They hurt too. We all hurt. And many times there's not someone that we feel confident to go to. Most of those things wouldn't happen if we really felt like we had a real dear friend we could tell something to. And they'd be like Jesus. They would never go tell it, but they'd help us and pray." Just right during a tour of about 6 weeks in Hawaii for the United States military, I was called into an office. I was told to be prepared to meet with approximately 10 chaplains at 8 o'clock the next morning. And they didn't want any of my group there. They just wanted me in there. I said, "Oh my goodness, Lord, what? I know I haven't done anything. I was scared to death because I hadn't made very many tours at that time for the United States military, and those big old stars on their shoulders can make you nervous. They don't make me nervous anymore because I have four of them, so I can kind of make somebody else nervous." I kind of got smart about it. But then they really made me nervous. And these chaplains said to me, when I walked in that office, first of all, they sent a car after me. I walked in the office with the command chaplain, Chaplain Linderman. I really shouldn't have called his name because I didn't want to tell an experience. I'm sure you wouldn't know him anyway. He doesn't belong to our denomination. There's no way affiliated with us. His eyes were just as bloodshot as could be. A real tall, handsome man. I knew the night before he'd been on a drunk. I knew, but you see, I know they're hurting. Around the world they're hurting. What are we doing about it? See, that's what I'm concerned about, me. What am I doing when I see one of my brothers or sisters hurting, really hurting, to the point of disaster, to the point of where they pick up drugs to try to calm down their hurting heart or hurting soul, needing somebody to put a hand on their shoulders, say, "I love you." Those chaplains call me in and they just quizzed me from top to bottom about the difference, but what our young, me and the young people that were with me, how different we were from the other groups that they had seen. And I remember the Catholic priest was such a wonderful person, Father Gefell. He said, "Donna," he said, "I want to talk to you when nobody else is around."
Yeah.
He had me in his office at another day, and he was the very big, high guy under the general. He made everybody go out of his office but me. And he said, "Now, I don't dig this. I just don't dig this." And he walks all back and forth and he just looks at me. "And I don't dig this," he says. "What you have, you don't rush to get through with your concerts real quick so that you and your young people can go sack up with the young men like the other groups that come in here. What is it? What is it, Donna? What is it? I said, well, Father Gabriel, I said, you know, you've heard. You've already heard about the charismatic movement that is going around now. But I said, you would not have the degree you had if you had not been forced, because I know by Dr. Moon, he had to learn all of the church denominations' doctrine. And so I told him, I said, you know what I believe. I believe that I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I accept him into my heart. And when he came into my heart, he cleaned up my life. And he took out the desires to do wrong. I said, I couldn't clean up my own life at all. But I said, he did because he promised. And I said, you know, Father Gabriel, you know the scriptures. And I quoted some. I said, you know about them. You use them in mass. You may use them in a little different way. He said, but I just don't dig. Still, I don't dig this. I said, well, let me give you another shot. It's the Holy Spirit. Have you heard about that? The Holy Ghost with the evidence. I said, you've read the book of Acts, haven't you? Yes, I have. And you've read, you know, all about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went back to heaven, he said he'd leave a comforter for us. Oh, yes, I have. I said, well, you know what? I just asked him to give that to me.
Hallelujah.
And I said, he did. And that's what gives me the drive. That's what gives me the drive. It keeps me. And I just gotta go. I've just gotta go and tell somebody else, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. He said, oh, I just can't dig you. He just kept on saying it. And it was the most wonderful thing because he just kept adding on of concerts and appointments for us. Not only, I had as many concerts or probably more in Catholic Mass as I did in Protestant. And that's what Jesus does when you let him shine through your life. He opens up doors that you wouldn't dream of. He'll open a person that you would come in contact with is desperate to hear you, special you, to tell them how much you love them and how much Jesus loves them.
Yes.
And you have the opportunity to take advantage of it. And then, after that was all over, I met with all those chaplains and I told them all about the Holy Ghost from A to Z as I knew it. And just exactly how it is. Those of you that have it, you know what I'm talking about. Sure hard to tell, though, isn't it? Can't hardly tell it. It's so wonderful. And then, the chaplain rushed to me while we were eating in the dining room, and they called it the mess hall. It was during the Vietnam War. He said, Donna, this Chaplain Scott, he said, Donna, please, could you, I don't want to ask you. I feel so bad to ask you, Donna. I just don't want to ask you. And I said, finally, I said, Chaplain Scott, what do you want to ask me? He said, you can say no. You can say no. I said, Chaplain Scott, please, what do you want me to say no to? He was just so worried to ask me. He said, could you put on one more appointment that you can say no? And I said, oh, yes. We had not even eaten. We were waiting on our food to be brought to us because we didn't have to go through the line. Since I was a general, I have a general number when I get to go under orders. See how Jesus, he's so good to me. I knew I wasn't worth a dime, but you know, he's wonderful. We're worth everything when he makes. And he opens the door. And I walked, I said, oh, yes, we can eat later on. And then he just said to me, Donna, we don't have time for the equipment to be put up. We don't have time for anything except to get in that bus with the young people and get to Schofield Barracks. And we'll go into a room, and these young men there they have only come in from Vietnam 3 days ago. And that's all he told me, except one more thing he said. They need a mother. With me, I had my son. I walked in a room about this size. Did not have one chair, did not have one table, didn't have anything. They were sitting in a semicircle on the floor. And when I walked in, I saw them sitting on the floor. Before I looked closely, I became a little bit angry at headquarters. I said, what in the world are they sitting on the floor for? Why couldn't they? they can put in the chapel where they have the nice soft pews and they can be comfortable for it, because only 3 days ago they came in from Vietnam. But it didn't take me but a second. They were sitting there on the floor, about 500 of them, with their legs crossed, with their heads bowed down to their legs, holding their arms and jerking. And they could not keep quiet because of the pain. You know what was wrong? They were shell-shocked young men. Totally shell-shocked. And would be that way under medication until the medication killed the brain cells and they're dead. I know. I sang for them in here at their funerals. I looked at them and said, oh my God. Oh my God. Every one of these young men had their head bowed. They weren't crying. They couldn't cry. Those of you that's been in the military have had sons, and you know what I'm talking about. I just stepped out of the chapel and just said, I have someone here, and he just introduced me, and he said, Don, it's yours. I can't do nothing with them. I can't do nothing. I turned around and said, young people, I whispered to my young people that were with me, and I said, pray. Oh, pray. And I whispered real quietly. I said, they're shell-shocked totally. And without a miracle from God, they will be this way until they die. And they will die from the medication that they have to take to calm them that kills the brain cells. You've read enough about this to know about drugs and medication like that. Well, I looked around, and I was so broken. We were going to have to sing a cappella. Well, that really wasn't so much of a problem with the young people and I. If we weren't crying our heart out. We sang a song called Jesus is a Friend of Mine. We did our best, but it was the worst sound you ever heard in your life. I tried another song. It was even worse. And then I said in my heart between me and God, God, I can't sing anymore. I can't sing anymore. And then I just stepped out there to them. And I know it was from my training with those type of young men that God had allowed me to have at the Dallas Veterans Hospital in 1965. I knew the pain that they were going through. And I just stepped out there among them, and I was in that semicircle. They still, not a one of them were looking up. Still not. Jerking and shaking and making all kinds of sounds that you just wouldn't believe unless you'd been in a situation in a hospital and heard them and seen them. And I told them with tears, I said, hey, you guys, we can't sing anymore. I can't sing anymore. I'm sorry, but you are shell-shocked. I know you are. Don't be embarrassed, because I love you and Jesus loves you. They still would look up. And I said, I wrote you a song. And it's a little bit late for me to say thanks for my freedom. Since you have already, you just got back and you left all your buddies over there. There was 1 to 3 out of each battalion that was in that group. 1 to 3 left. The rest of them were over there dead. And I said, I can't sing anymore, but I'm going to tell you the words to this song, if I can speak them at all. And as I was doing this, the young people were just praying their hearts out. And without even noticing what I was doing, just asking the Holy Spirit to anoint me, I was in that semicircle just about like this, and they were starting there and all around the room. Without even realizing what I was doing, except that I said, Jesus, lead me, tell me. Tell me what to do. I went over to that first little young man. So tiny, I'm sure I could have put my hands around his little waist. And I leaned way over. And I said, the words to this song was, Call My America. When I think about the brave men who fought for my liberty, when I think about the blood they shed on foreign soil for me, I can't help but shed tears and thank my God that I'm still here. Now I enjoy my America, and I'm so thankful to be free. And as I would say that song very slowly, I went over first and leaned way over and touched that little young man and put my arm on his shoulders. And he looked. looked up at me, and tears burst into tears. And I just went on down the line. I didn't miss a word. I said that song so slowly, I didn't miss a word. And each time that I touched one of them, and I am saying the Holy Spirit touched you. Each time I touched one of them, it looked up at me and burst into tears. Finally, I finished this whole entire amount of young men with the chaplain Scott standing back by the wall with tears streaming down his face. He didn't have the Holy Ghost, but he sure loved Jesus. And with my young people praying their hearts out. And then when every single one of them were looking up at me, crying, I started to speak. And I just opened my mouth to speak. And this little guy that I touched first, he said, "You really do love us, don't you? Because you know how they were treated." See, I'm telling you this. You know how they were treated here in America. And I said, "Yes, honey, I do really love you." But he said, "I mean you really, really do." And I said, "Yes, honey, I really, really do." But he said, "I mean." And he did that 5 times. And every time he did it, I went right back over there to his face. And I said, "Yes, I really, 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 really," I don't know how many times I said, "do love you." And then Jesus gave me my sermon. And I said, "You know, your buddies and my young men, you left in Vietnam dead for my freedom. Even though I hate that dumb war, it was horrible. I don't hate you. You tried." I said, "They remind me and you remind me of Jesus. They died for us to have freedom in the United States of America. Jesus went to the cross," and then I told him the simple story of Jesus and the cross. And then the Holy Spirit was really moving. I said, "Now I want you to bow your heads. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you just ask Him to forgive you of your sins and ask Him to come in your heart and thank Him for it." And I said, "As soon as you accept Jesus Christ," and let me tell you something, there's a lot of times when it's good to not think before you speak. I say always think before you speak. But sometimes when we're speaking to a soul, someone about